The Truth News Network. Staying right, staying red, staying on the side of the truth. TruthNewsNet.org. Dan Newman.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome today to Truth News Network. Today we have a very important topic to talk about. The title of today's story is For the Greater Good. You know, it's common knowledge that the left in America feel the country's in a downward spiral socially, economically, environmentally, in healthcare, in immigration, and in foreign policy during the Trump administration. It's also common knowledge that the left is beyond absolute certainty that they have all the answers for any and all of the absurd policies, at least that's what they term them to be, thrust on Americans by the Trump administration. But who is to determine if the Trump administration is correct or is the left? Great news, folks. It's us, American voters, and we're just 18 months away from making those decisions. As of this moment, we've not seen any solution from the left to right the great ship America, which by their definition is sinking with Donald Trump at the helm. And the left demands a brand new captain. Right now, there are 20 leftists who each feel they are the best hire to replace the guy now in charge. But as of today, not one of the 20 has offered any tangible package of proposed solutions to fix all those horrible Trump policies. But they claim theirs, whatever they are, will make America the great ship she once was and they think should be once more. And they each claim they are the best qualified to bring Americans all things that are for the greater good. So let's just dig in. Look close. First, economically. And first in economics, the tax cuts. According to the left-leaning Tax Policy Center, two-thirds of all Americans received a tax cut under TCJA. That's the name of the tax law passed in the Trump administration. That average about $2,200. Think about it. A tax cut under that law that average about $2,200. Tax rates are lower at every single income level, especially those at low to middle income levels, with 80.4% earners receiving a tax cut, including 91.3% of the middle class, while only 4.8% of the population saw their taxes go up, most of which are higher income earners living in high tax states. In addition to the analysis from the Tax Policy Center, H&R Block, you know them, the tax guys, they recently reported that the average taxpayer saved roughly 25% on their tax bill, and that refunds are up 1.4% compared to last year. These savings happened because the TCJA let families keep more of their money through a doubled child tax credit, double the standard deduction, and lower rates across the board. Those changes combined with bold pro-growth cuts to the corporate tax rate, estate tax or death tax, alternative minimum tax, and creation of a new 20% small business deduction have increased take-home pay for families and improved economy. But take what then-House Minority Leader, now Majority Leader, Nancy Pelosi predicted about TCJA when she said passage would mean Armageddon for America and that the bill is probably one of the worst bills in the history of the U.S. Or when New York Times columnist Paul Krugman guaranteed a global recession with no end in sight. The unrepentant gaslighting that has taken place over tax reform is rooted in dividing Americans for political gain or more clicks, rather than reporting, guess what? Facts. Presidential candidates Kamala Harris and former VP Joe Biden want to dump the Trump tax cuts. In fact, Kamala Harris said she would repeal the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act on day one. Harris said, on day one, we're going to repeal that tax bill that benefited the top 1% and the biggest corporations in this country. Get rid of the whole thing, she said. Well, how about economically? You remember this term or this phrase, it's the economy stupid? Remember James Carville made the above statement during Bill Clinton's campaign for a second term. He was asked if the Clinton impeachment would be the reason voters reject Mr. Clinton. In response, he made that famous statement above, it's the economy stupid. Remember, the economy then was doing really well. Clinton was reelected. Those 20 Dem candidates are wanting to replace the entire Trump economic agenda. Let's look at that. As of April 30th of 2019, the U.S. has the lowest African-American unemployment rate in history, the lowest unemployment among women rate in history. The overall U.S. unemployment rate fell to 3.6% in April of this year from 3.8% in the previous month, below market expectations of 3.8%. It was the lowest jobless rate since December of 1969. Among the major worker groups, the unemployment rates declined in April for adult men, 3.4%, adult women, 3.1%, whites, 3.1%, Asians, 2.2%, Hispanics, 4.2%, and the jobless rate for teenagers, 13%, and blacks, 6.7%, showed little or no change. Among the unemployed, the number of job losers and persons who completed temporary jobs, it declined by 186,000 over the month to 2.7 million. Hourly wages increased 3.2% over April of a year ago. Gross domestic product in the first quarter of 2019 blew the doors off expectations. 3.2% was well ahead of the consensus 2.3 estimated, which itself had been cranked up from the sub 1% expectations many analysts had been expecting prior to quarter one earnings seasons. 2019's first quarter GDP was the strongest quarter one read since the 3.3% we saw in 2015. Well, let's move forward quickly to healthcare and that Medicare for All. The president in the 2017 Congress backed the repeal and replacement of Obamacare. You remember that? Obamacare, of course, is the current healthcare finance plan. It's not a healthcare plan, just the finance plan of healthcare, and it's crippled American healthcare. One last-minute vote by former Arizona Senator John McCain prevented the House-passed version of the bill to replace it to go to the Senate floor for debate. The House bill and the president's promise to voters during the 2016 campaign were dead at the hands of a few Republicans. However, as the cost to Americans of Obamacare continues to skyrocket, a conservative health care plan is set to be rolled out after the 2020 election, if not sooner. In the meantime, 2020 candidates are pushing hard for the largest, and many say the most egregious legislative item in U.S. history, Medicare for All. The cost of Senator Bernie Sanders' Democrat of Vermont bill, $32 trillion over 10 years. That's $3.2 trillion a year. Sanders proposed the plan years before did Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the rookie congressperson from New York. First, the plan. Just a few bullet point mentions of what we know Medicare for All would do. Rationed health care for all. An immediate shortage of physicians would occur because of the massive reductions in payments for services by doctors who would run for the nearest exit and begin their new careers. Just like as in the UK and Canada, patients would find themselves waiting for months for a heart procedure, knee replacement, or eye surgeries. Though U.S. leftists rail against claims of a death panel that might be installed with such a plan, that would probably occur. There would be, because of healthcare finance reductions, unelected bureaucrats, not patients with their doctors, as is the practice today, who would determine which patients should receive certain procedures, including some life and death procedures. Cost. The unbelievable cost for such a plan would be astronomical. All Americans would be covered with medical costs being paid by the government. Where does the government get that money? Hey, they don't get any money unless they get it from us. In the form of higher taxes. Tax revenue in our government would have to be more than doubled to simply pay for the new health care cost of a Medicare for All program. That means the average American taxpayer would see their federal income tax bill increase by approximately 150%. That's above the astronomical premium increases already sustained under Obamacare, sometimes even doubled for some American citizens. When Obama promised the average premium cost per U.S. family, it was going to go down, remember that, by $2,500 a year. There is no doubt there needs to be financial changes in our healthcare system, but not at the expense of destroying American healthcare. We can't let that happen. And then there's the winner that sucks all the air out of the room in discussions about policies, immigration. We have a crisis at the southern border. That was from President Trump. Do you realize that right now we're on track for the apprehension of more than a million illegals this year crossing our southern border? Add that to whatever the number of those who Border Patrol agents do not apprehend. They can't find them, but they still get in. Do you realize that illegal number of 1 million coming in annually to the United States is the exact same number of those that the U.S. lets into their country legally through legal immigration policies and laws every year? Now, that 1 million the United States lets in illegally, that is the total of all the legal immigration elsewhere in the world. Think about it. All the other countries in the world, their legal immigration policies all total 1 million people are let into countries around the world legally every year. The United States does that on its own. Meanwhile, 2020 Democratic presidential candidate Julian Castro doubts there's a crisis at the U.S.-Mexico border so much that he's calling it BS. When asked about the growing situation of immigrants trying to enter to the U.S. illegally and the president mulling even closing the southern border temporarily, Castro tossed it aside. "I don't believe their narrative," he said. "I don't believe the BS that women and children who are fleeing dangerous circumstances present a national security threat to our country. Who knows for certain how many illegals are in the U.S. today? Estimates range all the way on the low side from 10 million to 60 million on the high side. Either number is a travesty. Regardless of what you hear, the drain on the entire U.S. national infrastructure is happening at a far too rapid pace, just because of massively increased numbers drawing from those resources when they get here illegally. Public schools, criminal justice systems, subsidized food, health care, and housing cost the U.S. today billions of dollars for illegal immigrants. Our social system is stretched to the max. But then there's the obvious thought. Aren't those who cross into our country illegal, breaking the law? Why don't we just stop them from breaking the law? Hey, we still have a couple of big areas to look at. The environment, foreign policy, and our summary. You don't want to miss it. None of it. Sit tight. Back right after this at Truth News Network.
From Krakow to Grand Island, Milan to Hanoi, this is TNN, the Truth News Network. Long live the courageous.
May God bless and keep you always.
The tenacious.
May you always do for others.
The ones who push forward
do for you.
And give back.
To the stars. Climb on every rung. May you stay.
Long live the greater good.
May you stay.
The helping hand. Those who fall and get back up. And long live the truck with the strength to overcome. The will to outwork. And the commitment to outlast them all. Ram, proven to last.
George Orwell said freedom is the right to tell someone what they don't want to hear. Today, that's called the truth.
At truthnewsnet.org.
Here's Dan Newman.
Today we're looking at the 2020 Democrat candidates for Congress and what their policy positions are, and of course, what their positions are regarding the existing Trump policy. We've already looked at economics, and we've looked at medical health care, also immigration, but now we're down to the environment. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez stated factually, "The world, as we know, will be over in 12 years unless we immediately initiate plans to do away with all fossil fuels, make every building in the U.S. green efficient, do away with cars, airplanes, jets, and find ways to stop cows from farting." I'm not kidding. 19 of the Democrat candidates for president have signed on to that deal. AOC's Green New Deal is being touted as the only solution for emissions problems for the U.S., and that those emission problems are fatal. Then there's this. The U.S. per capita carbon dioxide, that's CO2 emissions, are at their lowest levels since 1950. 2017 U.S. per capita CO2 emissions were 15.8 metric tons per person, their lowest level in 67 years. Overall, U.S. carbon emissions are at their lowest level since 1992 and have declined 13% since 2005. But according to the Green New Deal's author, we are all to become extinct in 12 years without the deal. Its cost? No biggie, just $72 trillion. Where do the candidates stand? Senator Bernie Sanders tweeted, "I am proud to be an original co-sponsor of the Green New Deal proposal. We must address the existential crisis of planetary climate change." Senator Cory Booker likened the Green New Deal to fighting Nazis and going to the moon. I studied that one when I saw it the first time. I heard him say it. I can't figure that out. It's similar to fighting Nazis and going to the moon. Senator Kamala Harris via C-SPAN said, "We have to have goals. It's a resolution that requires us to have goals and think about what we can achieve and put metrics on it." In other words, she felt like she had to weigh in and support, but she had nothing substantive to say about the plan itself. Then Senator Elizabeth Warren tweeted she is excited to back the Green New Deal after initially saying she backed the general idea of it. Senator Amy Klobuchar, "I see it as aspirational. I see it as a jump start. So I would vote yes, but I would also, if it got down to the nitty-gritty of actual legislation as opposed to, here are some goals we have, that would be different for me." Another one's kind of vague. I don't get her explanation or her response. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, "It's got this aspirational goal." There's that aspirational word again. She said, "It's got this aspirational goal of net zero carbon emissions in 10 years. But she didn't say she liked it, didn't say anything other than just, "Yeah, it's a policy." Let's jump over to U.S. foreign policy. Trump's short list of foreign policy achievements. Let's just go over them real quickly. Leaving or announcing intention to leave globalist agreements, including the UN's Population Fund, Global Compact on Migration, Paris Climate Agreement, and UNESCO. Reducing U.S. contributions to the United Nations and challenging other NATO states to increase their contributions. Reversing the Obama administration's lenient Cuba policy, recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital, and of course building our new embassy and putting it there in Jerusalem. Leaving or announcing intention to leave the United Nations Human Rights Council, Global Compact for Refugees, Iran nuclear deal, and the Universal Postal Unit, and taking a tough stance against the International Criminal Court. Giving another strong pro-sovereignty speech at the UN General Assembly. Taking steps to reduce foreign aid when not in U.S. interest, such as to Pakistan and the PLO. Moving the U.S. Embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, as we just mentioned. Taking an increasingly tough stance on China, criticizing South Africa's leftist land policy, and promoting ties with Latin America's conservative leaders. The Trump policies created a coalition, which has all but eliminated ISIS. Now let's look back on all of this, and we'll ask a question. For the greater good, and that has a question mark at the end of it. Let's talk about tax cuts. Do they really want to repeal those tax cuts that have put more money back in the pockets of Americans and increased wages 3.2%? Answer, yes, they do. Employment. Do they really want to do away with the Trump policies that have dropped unemployment to historical lows and put more Americans in the workforce than ever before in American history? Answer, yes, they do. Immigration. Do they really want to abolish ICE, do away with Border Patrol, and allow the continued massive increases in illegals coming into the U.S., costing taxpayers billions of dollars each year? Do they really want open borders, which effectively means no borders? Yes, they do. Healthcare. Do they really want Medicare for all, which will result in certain ration care, long waits for things as simple as x-rays and heart caths, sometimes as long as a year, and that price tag is $32 trillion for Medicare for all? Yes, they do. Environmentally, do they really want the Green New Deal at the price of $72 trillion that will take away all cars and airplanes, all fossil fuels, mandate 100% clean energy efficient buildings throughout the U.S., and create massive tax increases on all Americans? Yes, they do. Foreign policy. Do they really want the amazing foreign relationships Trump has rebuilt with the numerous American allies around the world that under Obama had been destroyed or eliminated and replaced by the Obama American apology policy with no trust in the United States? Yes, they do. Folks, each of the left's announced candidates promises to, if elected, overturn each of the policies implemented in the Trump presidency. Why? Doing so, according to each of them, would be better for every American than those that are in place today. For the greater good is a phrase that comes from Gellert Grindelwald. He used to justify his horrific actions in the 1940s global wizarding war, and it was engraved over the entrance of Nurmengard, the prison he constructed to house those who opposed him. The leftist candidates claim that doing away with each of those Trump policies would be for the greater good. It sounds like Colorado Senator Michael Bennett, former VP Joe Biden, from South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg, Massachusetts Representative Seth Moulton, California Representative Eric Swalwell, Ohio Representative Tim Ryan, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, former Representative Beto O'Rourke, former Governor John Hickenlooper, Governor Jay Inslee, Senator Bernie Sanders, Senator Amy Klobuchar, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Senator Cory Booker, Senator Kamala Harris, ex-San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro, Representative Tulsi Gabbard, former Representative John Delaney, from Miramar, Florida, Mayor Wayne Messam, author Marianne Williamson, and former tech executive Andrew Yang might all be taking a page from Grindelwald's playbook. In the hearts and minds of most Americans, making such a change would not be for the greater good. What do I say at Truth News Network? Well, I'll just leave it like this. In Louisiana, we have a special way of responding to a question like that. We say this, and this is a direct quote from thousands and thousands of Cajuns. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. In my opinion, in Washington, D.C., right now, today, in the White House, it ain't broke. Hey, folks, thanks for joining us here today at Truth News Network. We had a good time talking about the realities of For the Greater Good. More stuff like that just around the corner, so make sure you're here every day. We'll be back then, tomorrow, at truthnewsnet.org. Till then, so long, everybody.
Undeniably the go-to source for nonpartisan, spin-free news from the world.
TNN,
the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.